Hey everyone, it's Bad End Podcast, your favorite video game podcast, the best video game podcast, the world's first provocative video game podcast. My name
sounds like you're apologizing for not blogging in a while. Hey guys.
Hey guys, I know it's been a while since I've been blogged.
I know my two readers that might be both my old accounts.
I had some finals recently and it's just been really hard to get in here every day, but I promise. And this is like
gonna get back
this
at
is the
it.
Last the post was like 3 years ago. Like I promise I'm gonna get back into
this
it.
This time, man.
All right, my name is Josh Calixto. Anyway, I am a writer currently for Kotaku.
My name is Kyle Cookstell. I have definitely written apologetic blog posts, so I'd not describe that.
Yeah,
as my main job.
I think we've all been there.
I think it's like my whole career is like apologetic blog posts. I'm Katie McCarthy. I write for usgamer.net and other places in the past.
This is a podcast about video games, so we're just going to talk about some video games. What do you guys have been playing this week? What's the games situation?
I was playing a hype game.
Oh.
I mean, a game that's like, I mean, I say it's a hype game. It's a game that people have been writing about.
Well, please.
It's Frostpunk, the strategy survival game by the team that made This War of Mine. And have you guys played Frostpunk?
I want to, but I haven't.
You know, the storyline for me is like, you know, when you kind of, you get older and you realize that like, hey, I don't have to have certain friends because, like I just want them and like, cause I don't have to spend time around people that I don't like anymore. You know, you get to that point where you just like, don't want to invest time in people. Cause it's like, why should I hang out with someone that I'm not getting a lot of fun out of? It's like that for me with video games now, and I've kind of come to the realization where I just don't really like strategy games.
That's totally fair. You know? Feel like Frostpunk has like a vibe to it that I've heard about that I feel like I'd be really into. I have like such a weird like hot and cold thing with like management type sims. Like I feel like there's some that I really fucking click with, and then there's others where I'm like, this is just tedious and boring and horrible. And I want to give Frostpunk a chance to see if that's good, but
Napoleon
I also hate the name.
Humping the couch.
Oh, wow. Cushion. I did not even see that. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Frostpunk is like, I mean, I think someone in our Slack channel, and I hate to mention Slack as like an inside joke thing, but they basically describe Frostpunk as the kind of strategy game that the team that made This War of Mine would make, which is like 100% true. It's like a game where it's like kind of a focused city builder. So oftentimes city builders are like, there's a land and you can like build a city of a certain type and you'll make a city. And the story of the game is like how your city fails or succeeds and you make a lot of money or you build more buildings. Frostpunk is, I don't want to say it's the first, cause I feel like there's probably been other ones, but it's one of the first ones in recent memory where it's a strategy city building game that has like a narrative to it. It's like, there's a consistent line. And that has to basically do with like not dying in the cold. So the game is about basically building up from like a very small encampment to like a medium-ish sized city that has houses and keeps people warm. Like signature This War of Mine design, there's a lot of like hard decisions. There's like something happens and it's like, are you gonna make the kids work or are you gonna make people go hungry? And like those are the kind
kids,
of the dichotomies.
Make the kids work.
Yeah, it's like, so this gets, I mean, we'll jump to kind of my point of this because you guys haven't played it. But I think like This War of Mine, Frostpunk, and before I say this, there's been some other good like conversations on Frostpunk. Specifically, the Three Moves Ahead podcast had on their show the guy who reviewed Frostpunk for Rock, Paper, Shotgun. And he has like a really good perspective on the same idea. But basically that Frostpunk essentially, Because you basically start somewhat in Meteor Rest where it's like, okay, you're going to build a city now with these people and doesn't do a good job of like humanizing the people that you're building the city with or about. It kind of relies on like a lot of your own like personal moral compass to guide like how you think these things should go. So if someone's like, oh, do you want to feed people soup or like feed people humans? Like you as the player and like the humans has to be like, oh, like, I want to feed them soup. They shouldn't be cannibals. But the game like incentivizes you in different ways. So in the child labor thing, it's like, do you want kids to work and have 40 more workers, or do you want people to starve? And then you, like the human, wants to say like, well, I want people to like survive. But you, the Frostpunk player, is like, well, I can get more workers about this. So all that to say, basically, the game kind of relies on your own moral compass, because it doesn't actually do a good job of like setting up the bounds of, like, it kind of has like a lot of like world building around, like, it's called Frostpunk, so it's like steampunk but on ice, right? So there's a lot of like innate world building stuff around that, but it doesn't actually establish like the moral bounds of what should be allowed or not allowed in the space you're playing in. It relies on you as a player to like make that decision be the hard thing. But if you're facing an option where it's like, do you want more kids to work in your factories for plus 40 workers who have no names? You're like, I guess so. And so then you send kids to factories and your game continues on. So it's fine. It's cool that it's like a focused city builder. But a lot of the like the narrative, like hard decision stuff is kind of, it wavers between like interesting and kind of pedantic. But I'd recommend it. You can play through the campaign. It's not a freeform thing. It's like it's scoped. So it's like 6 or 7 hours. So it's fine. Good. Worth playing.
I feel like I'm starting to wonder, like, you know, wait, what is it about strategy games specifically that I'm not like that into? And I have like a kind of half baked hot take about what that might be, you know?
Drop it.
I feel like it takes a certain amount of ego to really fuck with strategy games, because you have to have this sort of like capitalistic hunger to break a system to your benefit that I think from a young age was not instilled in me. It's like you're like the kid at the elementary school who like hustles other kids to get like, you know, $2 out of them, you know, who are like, who would like flip other kids' Yu-Gi-Oh cards even though like you weren't into Yu-Gi-Oh. You ever have those types of kids at your school
who are like the Yu-Gi-Oh middlemen, like the Yu-Gi-Oh mob bosses that hang out by the soda machine and they're like, yeah, I got that card.
It's like these,
you gonna give me a Coke?
It's like this person who gets their rocks off on like breaking systems and taking advantage of them. And it's like the power fantasy is that like you have discovered how to break the system in what some way, shape, or form in a way that best benefits you and as an individual. And since the entire game is founded on systems, it makes you like kind of feel better that you've like min-maxed it. And I think over the years I have become more tolerant to this way of playing games for some reason, because like min-maxing is such a freaking accepted thing. And I feel like there's a lot of games that are now built where it's like you have to min-max shit if you want to do anything, if you don't want to like immediately die to shit. So it's just like a natural part of gaming language, whereas like I don't think it really was before. It was more of just like you kind of did your skill and then you were good. But now as everything is like systems based, everything is an RPG, everything requires crafting, you have to like look at a freaking guide to min-max everything to get the most out of a game. But I feel like strategy to me, it's like the entire game is about breaking the system. And that just kind of rubs me the wrong way. It's like, I don't get off on that. Like, that's not my thing. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Cause I think that like, I was actually talking to one of my friends who's like played more and having beaten all the campaigns of Frostpunk. And we were talking about it and he was like, oh, what you have to do is just, you have to rush to factories and get automatons and blah, blah, blah. And
it's,
I was like,
that kind of shit.
I was like, it sounded like you min-maxed it. And he's like, well, yeah, I played the 3 campaigns, but I feel like that's a specific impulse that I don't find alluring. Like, I think that I appreciate, it feels like I like the idea of like kind of knowing a rule set and participating in it, but I'm not going to be the person to like make sure that like everything is optimal. Like if I'm playing City Skylines or something, like I would favor like a neighborhood that's like more aesthetically appealing, even if it means that like, oh, I have to cut down on 2 roads. That would be efficient.
Right.
So I think there's a certain degree of latitude for some of these games where you can do that. But then there are other games like on the opposite side of the spectrum that totally pander to this sort of mentality with stuff like Factorio. Is like the whole game is premised on this basically taking that kind of impulse, that like that Magna Santi and SimCity impulse to its logical extreme, where it's like you can constantly automate and constantly improve and makes that a core mechanic to its benefit. But I also hear what you're saying, where I feel like some games now do kind of necessitate the sort of min-max type play to be like, you're just not going to win. Like, I think of something like Darkest Dungeon, where it's like, if you fuck up at all in like trying to plan how your people are going to move through, like, you're going to die, A, or you're going to get RNG'd. And so much of the game is about risk mitigation instead of actually like constructive play. So I think that's what's interesting. I mean, that's why I still find myself playing like City Builders over like kind of this like new like NEU strategy game type stuff, where it feels like you have to do a lot of this min-maxing. And that same impulse is a lot of reasons why I don't like playing like CCGs or something, because it feels like you have to find like the right strategy to just do the thing. Whereas I like the idea of being able to play non-optimally, but still be able to succeed. I think Frostpunk is like not that 100%. There's definitely like hard limits. You can lose, which is not so much a thing in a lot of other city builders. But I think things like City Skylines are different, where it's like you can have constructive play, or like even like Planet Coaster is like there's more play that's inside of it that's not towards a goal. But I think what's nice about Frostpunk is that because it's so, it does a good job of exposing the fact that it's like, no, like there are lives at stake and you have to make people survive. It like, it adds a little bit of that tension without saying that like this is the point, like Factorio. So there is space to play, but there's also like, there's very much a win condition that you can optimize towards.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like, I guess I'm talking specifically more about like XCOM type games.
Sure.
I think I have like somewhat traumatic experiences with strategy games that take place on like a grid type board thing. Like, I feel like I used
you
to like
Battle
those
Tech,
types
dude?
Of... Yeah, even like Advance Wars or like Fire
Cantata.
Emblem. Dude, that shit, it's just that like, no, I just feel there's like a gap between what I am doing and what I am supposed to be doing that's like very clear as I play this game, and then like all my people are dead. I'm like, how bad am I at this shit, where it's like I've just killed legions of innocent people in Fire Emblem because I'm so shit at this fucking genre of video game. And it's just like squares on a board. And I feel like I shouldn't be that bad at it, but I am. And it just makes me feel bad. You know what I'm saying?
I feel
you.
Anyway.
I love that shit, though. That's like, eat that up. That's a game I'm making right now. Grid-based strategy, boy.
I'm sure you'll think these things through, and maybe this will be a...
No, I mean, I think it's like there's a certain... It's nice because it's a thing where like... So I feel like, so we talked about God of War last episode, and I feel like these games kind of exist in dichotomies where like God of War has like a lot of narrative pretension and like okay gameplay, or maybe great gameplay. I haven't actually played it. You see guys seem
gameplay
like
is the only gameplay is the good part of that game.
Whereas you've got like fucking strategy games, which are like for the most part, they're like, this is a fucking video game. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But it's not like you're coming to it for anything else. Like, I don't think, I'm not playing the next Fire Emblem game because I'm just like really care what happens to Lin. Like, that's not my impulse there. It's very, it's very much like, oh man, like I like interacting with these systems. Whereas like, I think that is specifically why people are attracted to those things. I think that sometimes there are narrative pulls. Like if you're playing something like Europa Universalis, you're like, oh, I love simulating like 17th century Europe. That's exciting. But I think so many times people that come to those games are not because they are necessarily thematically interested. They like playing with those little pieces, whereas I think it's a spectrum where on other sides people are like, I like engaging with a third person narrative adventure. It'll be great if there's some stuff on top of that. So I think it's I appreciate like the pureness of being like, this is a video game, there are rules and there are systems and you can get good at this and like have at it.
True.
I've been playing a game called State of Decay 2, which is, on the surface, it's just another zombie game. But it's actually not just another zombie game. It's like a very hardcore management sim, or a base building, I guess. But you have like this whole community, and basically your goal is to like keep your supplies up and then to keep morale high and keep your like community happy or whatever. And it's like very complicated, but very satisfying in a weird way. Like the like it still like has like the typical action survival type zombie shooter thing, like open world thing laid on top, But I feel like the management sim stuff is very interesting, and it like really sets the game apart. And like I feel like I finally understand why the original was like such a weird like cult hit, like because I didn't really know it was, I guess, this deep in terms of like the management sim stuff. And that's pretty much like the main pull with State of Decay 2, or at least like the dozens of hours I've played of it so far.
Wasn't that the premise of the first one though as well? Was it you were like building a building? Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing, but basically for State of Decay 2, they added multiplayer, so now you can play with your friends, which I feel like makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that was why I didn't play the first one, because I was like, I want to play with my friends.
Yeah, you can play with your friends, or you can play solo. That's like an option too. And there's like drop-in, drop-out multiplayer, so it's like pretty seamless, and you still get rewards for being in your friend's game. So it's not like you're like... Like in Far Cry 5, you could play that whole campaign co-op, but one player is not getting the credit for it. It's kind of like feels useless to kind of play that game co-op.
Do you mind if I just really quickly get a joke in here real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Has anyone played the new game with the gorilla in it for Nintendo Switch? Because I would love to know about the State of Decay.
Oh!
Am I right?
That was a horrible joke.
Thanks, guys.
You're
go on,
that joke,
sorry,
that
for,
joke
sorry
tropical froze over.
I would say it went.
That was a stretch.
What? I would
say
I'd say
Kyle's is more of a stretch than your joke.
Yeah,
like your
for
joke,
sure.
like for sure.
Solid. At least.
Anyway.
5 out of 10.
So State of Decay 2 has multiplayer. Has new maps, has 3 maps. There in the tutorial, like when you do your first like playthrough or whatever, you get the option of like choosing, because it's like, oh, do you want to go to the mountains? Do you want to go to blah, blah, or do you want to go to like the valley? So you have like an option of the map you choose. Otherwise, when you you make a new community and like basically start from scratch, it's like randomly chosen for you, which is kind of a bummer. I wish you could like choose at all times, like, oh, I want to be on this map or this map. You can go from map to map, but you have like a consequence, like you lose all your progress on that map, like you lose all your like relationships with other communities, and like any of the progress basically you've made. So it's kind of like you're just like picking up all your shit in like backpacks and just moving to another area and establishing a new base. So that's kind of like a bummer. Like I wish there's more of like free form between places, but I mean, I guess the whole point of the game is like you're starting new communities and you're like building up new bases. But there's, like, all this, like, dynamic stuff, like, every character has their own, like, line of, like, story missions, but they're all, like, randomly generated, so they're not really, like, authored in a way. It's just kind of, they're just kind of spread out and divided, I guess, amongst random, like, survivors.
It's, like, roguelike type stuff.
Yeah, and then it's, like, really interesting. And there's, like, you want to establish one person as a community leader. So, basically... When someone gets, like, super leveled up, because you have, like, different attributes, and when you level them up, they can, like, specialize in certain things. So it's, like, one person can level up some random attribute, and then they can specialize in backpacking, so they can, like, carry heavier stuff, and they won't become, like, over-encumbered and shit. Or, like, there's, like, one ability where someone can specialize in the certain attack, where they can do, like, a running and jump attack, which I don't think is very useful, but there might be someone that's, like, really... fast and has a lot of stamina, so that might be like a good ability for them. So I was like, all these like different weird things that you can do, and you like you want to like spread it out among your survivors evenly, because you don't want like a lot of survivors that are good at shooting, because it's like, well, what about if there's melee? Like, we need someone that's good at melee. And I found myself like actually being like really strategic with like the new people I was recruiting to my community, because there's like one point where I had like 2 doctors or something, and I was like, I need to have not so many doctors, and I was like helping out the survivor who was like calling up for help on the radio, and I was like looking at their stats, and I was like, they're like specializing in medicine again. I was like, I can't have another doctor. So I had to like say like, no, I don't have room in my community, even though I was totally lying. Like, I totally had room in my community. But it was like, there's like these different almost like moral dilemmas, you know, where it's like, I feel bad that I'm like turning this person away, but also it's like, I need this, I need someone to actually, like, that would bring something new to my community to help me, like, so I can build this thing so that they can do that thing. And it's, like, there's, like, all these, like, levels of systems that you're, like, thinking about all times. And, like, I feel like at first it seems really daunting. Like, there's just, like, so much, there's so many numbers and so many stats and icons, and it's, like, very overwhelming. but I feel like the games really stay, or like the game, from what I heard, the first game's like very obtuse and it was like hard to approach for newcomers. But State of Decay 2 has like a really good tutorial and it's like really good easing you into all these like different layers of systems and like managing things. And I don't know, like I felt like I usually hate zombie games, like that's not my jam at all. And I was like weirdly into it, and I kind of want like a similar game in like a different environment, like that would be super dope. But
I mean, this is my, yeah. I thought we were post zombie.
Yeah.
Like, I think, didn't same. Zombies have their moment? Like, why?
I feel like they had their moment, they're and not, it's weird that they're still.
It's never gonna go away. Come on.
Yeah, I mean I don't know, like walking, The Walking Dead's like not that. I mean, is it still big? Like that show's still going, so I'm assuming people still watch it. But I feel like no one talks about that show anymore.
I feel like The Walking Dead is like on the verge of like my parents asking me if I've seen this cool new show about zombies. Like the same way they're like, have you seen Big Bang Theory? There's some smart stuff on there. It's gonna like the next step is like.
I feel like
I don't know. My parents watch Walking Dead, or they used to. I think they don't watch it anymore.
That's what
it's,
I mean.
Like, 10 seasons
once the olds
deep.
Get it, we're like we're post zombies.
I mean, my parents
like,
aren't that old. They're like 45, well, which is like,
I mean,
not that old for like
age.
We can't be post zombies if there's still zombie stuff.
Yeah, you know? It's like there's
but
still a lot of zombie stuff.
Over the
state
zombie
of decay.
Like, look at Sony's
trend?
Like Sony's next big
Days
new game
gone.
Is a zombie game. Days
looks
gone.
Like total ass because I think we're post like we've moved beyond zombies. Like you got, we live in a world where they're like more interesting, like crazy shits that can like attack you. And just, I don't know. I'm like, State of Decay, it's like multiplayer sounds tight. The new editions sound tight, but I'm also like, why zombies again? Like, what is that like? So like, what is so just like, about zombies? That's like the core thing of like State of Decay, like flesh. I don't know.
I feel the same way because I feel like that's the weakest part of it is the zombie shit. Like there's, I don't know, like it's like, I don't think the combat's bad or anything or the action's bad or shooting or whatever, but it's just like, man, I'm just fucking fighting zombies. Like I'm just like, they're so predictable, you know? It's like, man,
oh,
it's just
wow.
kind of like, a, and it's like
out.
Post-apocalypse,
Wasn't
like rural middle America. Like,
Isn't
there zombies
core.
In Fortnite?
Yeah, I mean, like, base Fortnite, not Battle Royale
yeah,
Fortnite.
Still,
not the Fortnite that matters.
But still.
Like,
I mean, still.
Yeah.
Significant.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like, cartoon zombies.
Sure.
They're, like, more fun. These are, like, bloody and will, like, kill you and shit. So, I decided to run my community into the ground, like, just to see how it went.
Did you like
I
watching the world burn?
Yeah, well, like, my best person died, and it was really, I took it really rough. Like, it was, like, they had, like, 4 specialized abilities. They were just, like, had, like, a good gun that I just, like, kept on them at all times. I was just like, this is, like, my fucking person, you know? And then they died in, like, a horrible way. Like, I went out to get some supplies because we were, like, kind of low on food, and we only one like, you can get these outposts that, like, generate resources, basically. And I had one that was, like, generating food, but it was, like, pretty low. So I was like, I don't have a garden or anything because it was, like, my early goings of the game, I was still, like, feeling out the different systems and stuff. So I went to this house, and it turned out there were, like, other people there, like, human people, and they were hostile. So they just,
ooh.
Like, brought out their guns right away and just started, they just, like, started shooting at me. I ran out of the house. They chased me out of the house.
That Fallout shit.
Yeah, it was, like, it was a little scary. And then, like, I brought out my gun and I had to reload it because I hadn't reloaded it, I guess, since whenever I last used it. Because I, like, shooting in this game is bad because it's super loud and then zombies come, they're attracted to the sound. It's, like, you can't, like, it's, like, how it's a bad idea to build more than one thing at once on your base because it attracts zombies because it's so loud. So it's like all these like different things you gotta consider. So I like try to not use my gun unless it's like super necessary, and I just got shot and killed, and it happened like so fast. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like so pissed off. I was like, no, like I spent so much time. I was planning them to be the leader, and like when you have a leader of your community, they get like legacy quests, and then once they complete those, they can be carried over to different saves, different communities. So they're kind of like your like forever character in a way, except they can also die in those other communities. So it's kind of like there's always a risk. They're not like invincible. But man, I was like so bummed because I'd like spent so much time like working this character up. And then
are you gonna start your write up with that story?
I probably should. I have it in there. I already wrote my review.
So do I.
An anecdote, the starting anecdote.
Yeah.
I lost my favorite person. Yeah. It was a dark night. We were going for food.
That's definitely how like half of SOCOM or XCOM reviews start.
SOCOM.
That's how every State of Decay review is going to run tomorrow. Is just starting.
This
with
could be that really great like first slug where it's like
that anecdote.
I die with an arm in my mouth.
I named him Jimmy. Like yeah. They name.
I wish you could name characters. I would name everyone stupid names, but they're all like.
It wasn't supposed to happen like this. We were running down a road.
Yeah.
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 It sounds fun. I don't know. The multiplayer part sounds cool.
Yeah, it's like surprisingly fun. I'm excited for more of my friends to get it because obviously review period you're just kind of like isolated. Like I played with random people, and it was like no voice chat because I just never go voice chat on like consoles, and it was like just yeah, let's just go do this thing. Also, like set this waypoint, let's go, and it was just you know silent camaraderie.
You're also
I
in
guess.
That, like. Aren't you in that weird like reviewer rumble time though, when it's like the only people online are reviewing it?
Oh yeah, so it's like reviewers you're, like, and streamers and stuff. So it's like
where it's like, are you PewDiePie? No, good.
Did not play with PewDiePie, but it's like you know, it's just like the rant, like the press and like influencer type people playing it. So it's like you know, it's whatever. But yeah, it's I'm excited to play with friends because I think that will make it look a lot of fun. It's. Just like really interesting, and I honestly went into it expecting not to like it. Like I was kind of anticipating it to be like, oh, I have to play a stupid zombie game, but it was like I'm pleasantly surprised by it.
It seems fun.
Yeah.
Zombies.
Josh,
are like, what are you playing?
You know, just zombies or whatever, but you know, it's if you like a good management sim, like it's good for that.
I really quickly, guys, last week. We talked about God of War a lot. Okay, we invested a lot of time in God of War. But
so let's talk more about God of War.
I finished it. And I just want to get a couple quick...
Josh, you got 3 minutes to talk about God of War. I'm looking
ending
at the clock.
Sucks. So bad, dude. Why is nobody talking about this?
How I didn't... Okay, what did you not like about the ending?
It's fucking boring, dude.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
It's not even... The thing is, like... I was like, oh, it's like a peaceful ending. But then I was like, actually, this is just fucking boring. Like, it's not even, it wasn't like poignant. It wasn't like subversive because they didn't do the big, like crazy fight. It was just fucking boring. And then afterwards, they're like, there's still so much left in this world for you to discover. And then I start doing it.
Post-game.
Kratos will be back.
And then none of it does, none of the shit that you do. Trust me, I went out there, I started doing all the grindy content that they give you. Look guys, they give you two realms, okay? Two entire realms. The first one is the trials.
Yeah.
One of the trials is kill 100 enemies. This shit takes like 20 minutes to do for one of the trials. And then you get like mats that you can use to create items. Like
exotic armor.
It's
yeah.
So dumb, dude. And then... The second one they give you is a realm called Niflheim, and it's a fucking roguelike area that's like, it's roguelike in name alone. It's like the shittiest roguelike you've ever played, where you just grind through this fucking thing where the rooms are slightly different every time, but it's like the same exact format of traps and room styles. And then you have to beat that thing like... You have to do like 15 successful runs until you can like build up your armor better. It's such a stupid fucking thing. It's like they built Destiny, a mini Destiny, into a single player game. And then they're like, you get to see what happened to the guy who started this realm. And then you don't. You turn in the quest and the guy's like, thanks, that must have been hard. And then that's it. It's like they think I'm an idiot. They think I was fucking born yesterday. My intelligence is insulted, okay? I'm doing this shit in an attempt to discover more about this goddamn story, and they're spitting in my fucking face every time. I want to talk to Corey Barlog and just be like, dude, this game, the combat's good, the story is middling at best, but this shit is fucking bullshit, dude. This is... I just want to hold his face and be like, you're not fooling me. I see what you're doing. And then also, you remember the ending of Halo? Like, I think it's like Halo 2, and it's obvious that there's like, yeah,
Master Kratos Chief will, like, be back.
Yeah, Master yeah. Chief's like, finish the fight. Like, we're gonna, this is part fucking one. Like, God of War does the thing where it's like, it makes you think it's gonna have an ending. Like, it's gonna be, oh, you could, this is a standalone game that has its own arc and story. But it ends up being like, it ends up ending, they make it seem like up until the last hour of the game, like that's what's going to happen. And then at the end, it's like, oh, this is actually the basically the Fellowship of the Ring, where it's like, there's got to be like five more fucking games and you're not going to understand any of what's going on in the story until we get to those games. But hey, hope you had fun.
That's like, that's the thing is like, are you ready? Not only like this, okay, maybe this God of War is like a 10 out of 10 amazing game. It's like, are you ready to play that same game like six more times in the next 5 years? Because that is like 100%. It's just going to, like, every year now, it's going to be a new God of War game.
It's fucking perverse, dude. It's like the game as platform single player game model taken to an extreme where they're just insulting my intelligence. They're trying to just make this thing a fucking, so I spend as much money as possible on the next four or five games or whatever. And that's all I have to say about that. I don't want to go on time's up anyway. About this game. It doesn't deserve.
Can I talk anymore. About another game that has a lot of money behind it?
Yeah.
Oh wait. Oh, you want to talk about something else? I have a lot of games that end in two that I can have some brief notes on.
Sure.
All right. First up, I played the MapleStory 2 closed beta.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Oh,
the drop. One of my friends hooked me up with the beta key, and I played it. Admittedly, I did not play it as much as probably the trouble he went through to hook me up with the beta key. But because it was weird, so like it was the closed beta. For you guys who don't know, MapleStory is a Korean MMORPG and somewhat notorious for both its beautiful, like, mid-aughts community of like just free-to-play MMO stuff, and then also notable because it was basically ruined by in-game purchases within the past decade.
They had like 7-Elevens in the game, right? Like.
Yeah, dude, the game is like full on cash shop. But like the thing is like there is this beautiful core of MapleStory that still made it fun. And also the first one had like impeccable pixel art that was just like so fucking pretty, which was great to play. MapleStory 2 is like on it's a 3D game. It still takes place kind of on a grid. And it plays like more or less the same. I think it has a little less charm, but they also just like fucking stack it with content. You can like make a house, you can like get a mount, you can like do all this crazy shit. I actually fell off the beta a little bit because they, as like per actually like making the beta be a test, they just gave everybody a ton of stuff and like added, like gave you a ton of experience boost and stuff, so like you just kind of sailed through the game. So it wasn't really, it was like fine, but it didn't feel like I was really playing the game. And also knowing that everything was gonna get wiped at the end of the beta, I stopped playing. But that was tight. I'm excited for that. Also, like, it's big news because this game came out in Korea like 5 years ago, and everybody like MapleStory had a pretty big American population. Everybody was like, why the fuck is it not in America? And then they just like literally a few months ago were like, yo, it's coming out. It was a closed beta in a month, and then now closed beta is over and it's coming out presumably this year. So that was tight.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Like, I did not know that was like getting localized until I think you posted about it, and I was like, what? Like, I feel like, yeah, I just like, literally missed just all like, that news. It's
coming out, and you're, like, after with like zero notice too.
Yeah, that's crazy. I used to play like the original MapleStory like religiously, yeah, like way back in the day. Like, that was my jam.
You guys ever played Gunbound?
That's like what I played. Yeah, that was not Nexon or even Wazette, but it was like the same class of.
I love the theme song for that game.
Wait, which like, one? Burr-dip. Gunbound or?
Alright, we're just gonna like edit that over.
Next up on my list of games that ends with two,
Destiny 2. I'm just kidding.
No, fuck that.
I actually played Destiny 2 last week for the new expansion.
Oh yeah, talk
about that? No, I don't want to talk about it. There's a new expansion for Destiny 2. That's it.
I played some Battlefront 2 actually for a fair amount of time. The game's like still, Star Wars? Game's still happening. Yeah,
like
fucking
old
Star Wars.
Star Wars or like
no,
new...
no, no, Battlefront 2. The like the old the latest one. Battlefront.
The new one.
The new one. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's two Battlefront 2s. It's like very confusing.
I know, it's confusing. No, I was I was playing it because one of my friends got it because it was on sale recently because of Star Wars Day, and so we were playing it. And that game is like, the game's pretty good. It gets a lot of flack because of all the loot box shit, but they like have totally flipped the switch on it. So before it was like, you've got to, there's like all this crazy currency shit where you had to like buy different people, but now it's like you basically have everything. It's like as it technically should be, is like you have everything and you basically level up individual things. So like you like level up Darth Vader, level up Luke, and you level up your class, and so it makes more natural sense. And the other tight thing is there's like a fuck ton of like really well produced like Star Wars maps in this game that you can play on. I want to say there's like 16 maps or something, and they're all like beautiful and look great, and there's some that are dedicated space battles, and like also a lot of them have this like weird narrative component that's not like crucial to like actually playing the game, but it just does weird stuff. I might have talked about this before, but it's like when you start like a match in like Jakku or something, like you start infiltrating the city, and like people are running out of the city because they're like scared and they kind of like scatter. And then like each stage of the game has these sort of moments that kind of paint a broader picture of this conflict, which is like really innovative in my opinion. I've never seen this in like a shooter game, but it kind of like really, it makes you feel like you're in fucking Star Wars in like a way that is, sounds like super corny, but is like super real. But as like a Star Wars fan, it's like
if you
tight.
Play the same stage, does it have the same like canned thing that happens?
Yeah, 100%. But it's like slightly dynamic, so it's like it's not always the same. But it's generally, yeah, if you start on different sides, you'll like.
But
see
the first
the
time, it's like,
thing.
Oh damn, dude, it's like.
But it's still, I think it's still tight because there's so many levels that you're not just doing them the same ones over and over. It's like you'll play like six levels and then you'll get this other one. And you're like, oh yeah, fuck, I forgot I start on like whatever this fucking ship is, and it's like crazy like New Hope. Like interior white ship, and you run through and you burst out into this area, and it's like bright, and I don't know, it's got this like thing. It just feels like Star Wars in like a really cool way. So
they always
and
seem
it's
to
like
have that
all the
sheen.
DLC is free, like all the shit, like I think it's worth getting.
It's like
sure.
A bunch of sheen,
so much sheen. The game looks beautiful.
Martin Sheen.
Yeah. Does it feel better to play? Because I feel like my problem with the first one was like too arcadey almost in a way, you know. It was like too, like I didn't feel I was progressing at all.
It's like pea shooters, dude.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds and feels a little better. It doesn't feel as good as like Battlefield 1. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that like weight, but and the pace is also like definitely faster. Whereas in Battlefield 1, you'll be alive for a long time, like sniping or like doing whatever. Star Wars is definitely because I don't know if there's like actual conquest maps in Star Wars like there are in Battlefield, whereas Star Wars is every map is basically staged where it's like you have to do one thing in one stage to progress to the next stage, and there's three stages, and they like the environments differ per level across these stages like really interestingly, but because of that it basically super narrows conflict, so everybody's kind of always fighting on the same front, so people are dying really fast. And kind of like running around, so it's a little more frantic. So it does have a little bit of an arcadey vibe, but I think it like it works for the like the feel of the game, where it doesn't feel like Battlefield 1, which is probably nice because if it felt like Battlefield 1, I'd probably play Battlefield 1 instead. But this is more kind of like focused. So I don't know. I dig it. It's cool.
Remember when everyone was like, I feel like it's important to call back to past events because. To kind of recontextualize them, remember when this game came out and everyone was just talking about loot boxes for like a whole month? That was like all people.
That was it.
It's so easy to forget this, but it wasn't that long ago where all we could talk about, because all that was
like
happening was
Star
just,
Wars and loot boxes.
Just pure like that Hawaiian.
I was like a loot
governors.
Box like few months, like Shadow of War had loot boxes that were like basically to make the end game easier, like they're pretty much like pay to win, and then they recently, like a month or so ago, like just took them out, which I found really shocking. I was like, that game came out so long ago that I forgot it existed, and then this news came out they're taking out microtransactions, and I was like, that's really strange.
That game is definitely going to be on the end of year. Oh, wait, that came out list for sure.
I mean, that came out last year. Like, that came out, like, in October. Like,
That came out?
That came out.
I feel like last we have... Oh, wait, that came... I remember that, too. I feel like we're the kind of nice thing about how quickly this cycle moves is that, like, Battle Royale... We're not going to be talking about Battle Royales in, like, 3 months, because... They're gonna burn.
I don't think that's true. We're still talking about PUBG. PUBG came out a year ago.
Okay, yeah, like every fucking AAA.
What I'm saying, Fortnite's
the
biggest game. Three Nights is a is a. I know
Three Nights.
I am well aware of Fortnite being the biggest game.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think Battle Royale's going away anytime soon.
What I am trying to say here, all right, is that protracted, they're gonna run this shit into the ground, very quickly. They're already beginning
arguably.
To do that. I mean, it's everyone's making a Battle Royale game right now.
Yeah,
like, whether
that's
we
true.
Know it
yeah.
or not, there's 1,000 Battle Royales in development. It's going to be...
Battlefield's announcing their new game next week, and I bet there's going to be a Battle Royale.
What I'm
the
saying...
Same way when, like, everybody had a MOBA, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
That?
Okay,
the time scale is a... It was an exaggeration. 3 months... And obviously, we're still going to be talking about this shit in 3 months. But... We had GTA clones for like 4 years.
After we still GTA. Have GTA clones.
Yeah, I mean, but that was like
those never went away.
It,
like that's
but
every
it was
open
like,
world game.
I at this point, it's like its own genre now, and maybe battle royales will become that. But it's gonna be it's coming to the point where people pick this shit up so fast, and they exhaust it so quickly, and they're so ravenous that it burns out faster. Like the conversation that we have to have about them burns out faster. Whereas, like, I feel like we're having the, is this a GTA clone for, like, whole conversation for, like, 3 years. Nobody's calling PUBG, or nobody's calling Fortnite a PUBG clone, I don't think. It's just a Battle Royale game.
I mean, people, I've definitely heard that. I mean, definitely around its first release, but it's, like, I feel like Battle Royale is a genre now. Like, that is a subgenre of games.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
like, 100 people on an island, one person lives, or one squad lives, or whatever.
Right.
And, like, I mean, we're already seeing... companies try and chase it, like we saw like Boss Key do it like with Radical Heights, and then they shuttered, which is really sad, but it's like
rip.
I imagine at E3 we're gonna see at least like 5.
I really hope like, Cliff Bleszinski lands on his feet again, you know.
I hope like I'm more concerned about everyone
that
studio.
No, that was
like,
a joke. That
I mean,
was a joke
because
like,
yeah.
people,
oh, okay.
were saying that afterwards, and it's like Cliff Bleszinski doesn't need your help.
That dude's gonna be fine. I hope that
he's
like,
gonna
his
be
employee,
fucking
like
fine.
He's super rich. I feel bad for his employees that are suddenly out of a job. Like, I hope they get picked up elsewhere.
Yes.
For the I don't know. It's a bummer. Like, it's sad to see any studio close, especially so suddenly. I feel like that's always, like, what's shitty about any studio closing. It's always just like, yep, we're closed. Sorry. Bye. Like,
yeah. All right. Next question. What game would make the best Battle Royale IP? Go.
Splatoon. I'm just kidding. I actually don't know if Splatoon would work. I was like kicking
you
it around.
Just
this.
Be, we just want more Splatoon.
I just want more Splatoon. There's a Splatoon expansion coming out this summer. I'm very excited for it. It looks very creepy. Like it has like a weird vibe to it, and I'm like really into it.
I got one. Bring back Mad World for the Wii as a Battle Royale game.
Hmm. I never played that.
You missed out, man. I kind of feel like the new Rage is going to be a Battle Royale.
I feel
like
it might have a Battle Royale mode.
They're not saying it. Yeah, that would be pretty tight.
The first Rage had multiplayer, so wouldn't it be
like
outside of the
ordinary? But it was like team-based, though. This one was like open world. Like if it's like drop-in, drop-out, crazy-ass Battle Royale, like that would be tight. And
also,
that like totally has a theme for it.
I want to say something. I feel like Rage 2 actually doesn't look bad. Like I feel like it looks kind of tight, like the gameplay trailer they showed.
Yeah, cool.
Like I... feel like because they have this duo developing it, Avalanche, who's done like Just Cause and that Mad Max game and stuff, and they also have ID Software, who did obviously Doom and like the first Rage and stuff. And I feel like that duo, like a like game developer who's
good
at like creating like fun open worlds that are super like you just create chaos and shit. And then like a company that's really good at first person shooters, I feel like that's like a good combination. And I'm like. Optimistic about it, I guess. I'm like, I could see this being fun. Like, this looks kind of stupid and fun. Like, I like blowing shit up. I don't know.
Is
I like Mad Max.
Is it ID or id?
It's totally
I actually
I
wonder.
Gonna,
is
I
it id?
Anything.
I've always said ID. Id? I guess that makes sense. I always say ID.
Katie, whatever. Are you a gamer?
No, I'm not.
Come on.
I just watch YouTube videos, and that's how I do everything.
It's like there's a street here called Houston in New York, and people call it Houston.
Houston?
Houston. Yeah. It's spelled like that, and people will say Houston, and then if you say that, if people say that, New Yorkers are like, it's Houston.
I'm going to go and call it Houston.
Yeah.
Just ready to kick out of New York.
Fuck it, man.
The Rage 2 thing is like,
it's weird that people were so hyped at the Walmart leak of it, and I was like, who's been asking for Rage 2?
I mean, I'm hyped when Walmart drops anything.
And then, like, the gameplay trailer was when I was like, "That looks cool, actually."
People
I can
get
see
hyped
that.
About fucking anything, dude.
Yeah, it's true.
Anything for
I
the
I was
content.
Trying to think of like a very not like I was like Brink 2. Let's do it.
Brink.
I'm trying to think of like games that like just kind of came and went, and like there's a lot that would be funny and people would still be hyped for.
Speaking of which, we got a reader mail.
Listener mail. Wait, you're right.
I got okay.
What's up, Kyle? You got another game?
I want to do Kyle's Itch Corner for a second. I played two really cool games on Itch.
All right, we'll get to this reader mail later.
Dear reader, I played two fun games, one of which I will say might be one of my top five games this year, which is I finally played Paratopic, which is like so tight. It's basically 30 Flights of Loving / Gravity's Bone. Not Gravity Bone?
Gravity Bone.
Yeah,
it's not
Gravity's
Rainbow.
Gravity Bone.
Gravity's Rainbow.
Yeah. I was getting confused. But it's like that, but like surrealist horror. And it's like so tight. I don't want to say any more about it, but you can get it on Itch. It's called Paratopic.
It's really short too. It's like perfect length.
Yeah, it's like 30 or 40 minutes, I think. And it's like it's like just enough of a taste that like I don't know. It's just in terms of like I mean gameplay is not super relevant here, but it just does it like it treats interaction the same way I think a lot of Brendan Chung stuff does, which is like I don't know, I fucking love it. It was great. And then I also played the new game by the Sock Pop collective called Tomscape, which is I think it's like Tom Vandegort, Vansbort, the guy working on Burn Band, made a homage to RuneScape called Tomscape, which is like $3. And it's like cute
Sock
and
Pop
fun
does great
and super
stuff.
Simple. They're
like in
the fucking shit,
like,
for sure.
Yeah, like they make like a lot of cute little games, like.
And Burn Band looks so hype! I can't wait for
that
to come out.
I love
be, like,
the
goatee
like their all
years.
Their visual aesthetic, I think, just really clicks with me. I guess I did like I interviewed them like ages ago for a story I did for like Kotaku. Like, God, that was over a year ago. I don't think time goes by so fast. Like they make really cool stuff. It's great that they're still doing shit. I feel like there's not enough like collectives in games, you know, like, you know, just individual developers just like collab on shit and do individual stuff too, and they're like really creative and do cool stuff on a regular basis too. They do like I think one game every 2 weeks or something.
They started their Patreon, so they're like they've been like more active. I think before it was like kind of
It was like fragmented. Like they did a Bamboo EP, which like 2 years ago, I want to say, where they all each made an individual game, but they all had like, okay, we're all making games with Bamboo in it. And that was like their only criteria. So all the games are like super different, but they're all really creative and cool and cute.
Yeah. Follow Suck Pop. They're great. Tomscape is great. And Paratopic is seriously probably one of my top five games this
same.
Year.
Same. So. And I can't ever list it because... Full disclosure, I'm friends with one of the creators of it, so and he works with me on a freelance basis a lot, so literally it's like a personal thing. Like I cannot, it's like my moral ethics, you know, I can't list it even though like genuinely it's like totally
about
my shit.
Deep freeze,
like,
you
know,
right now,
right?
About to get you in a deep
it's
freeze.
Honestly really good though. Like I'm kind of bummed that I know Doc, because it's like, fuck, like I would, this would be on my like game of the year list type thing. Like I feel like it's like last year Detention was like that indie game that I rooted for all year. I feel like Paratopic's kind of that game for me this year, but
just quietly rooting for it.
Yeah, I can't like literally like cheer it on. It's like in the back.
You should exercise your influence over the industry and just be like, hey, you guys play Paratopic? Great game.
I mean, I see a lot of people talking about it. I think it's like done pretty well on Itch too, from what I've seen. Like, it's always
they
on
definitely
the front
promote
page.
It pretty heavily.
Yeah, sick. And I feel like it. Yeah, it's has that cool PS1 vibe, which I don't think enough people do. You know, like I feel like like one of my favorite aesthetics is like PS1, like really bad polygons. Yeah, it's just really cool. It's a cool game.
Dude, the next game coming out that looks like that is fucking Due Process, which looks so fucking tight, but it's not out yet, so I don't want to talk about it. But I think, yeah, I'm totally with you that like that aesthetic is like, I mean, it's like Dusk is doing it now a little bit.
Yeah.
There's another like Dusky type.
Is that about the digestive system, Kyle?
Dusk?
No. The one before that.
Due Process?
All right, guys. All right.
Josh, did you get reader mail?
Oh yeah, we got reader mail. Okay. So this mail comes from this is from one Mr. Steven S. The title is Frustrations with Pop Culture. Thanks to Steven for following us. First of all, very active liker of our tweets.
Thanks, Steven.
Recognized, appreciated. Keep telling your friends about this podcast.
Keep liking all of our tweets.
Okay, here we go.
Like and subscribe.
I was very happy to find that y'all shared my distaste for the argument that because Infinity War accomplished what it set out to do, to be another Marvel movie, it is free from criticism. I got into an argument with a few friends recently because we were discussing why Loki didn't work, and a response was, why can't we just be happy we have comic book movies? Barf, by the way. Which brought us down the rabbit hole of how these films, in my mind, don't offer anything of substance or do much good for the greater culture. They consistently drop their thematic plot threads from Stark's alcoholism and PTSD to the governing of superheroes in Civil War. These films constantly are trying to be more than simple action films but fail, but because Thor set a good line and hit that guy with his hammer, it's a great film. I think a redeeming quality is they offer role models for children such as Captain America and T'Challa, but also brought the toxic gatekeeping culture of comic nerds into the mainstream. How do we feel about this?
I super agree with this email. I feel like, yeah, there's like, this is, it's just like nerd culture in general. Like, there's like this weird mansplainy, like, I guess culture where like every little grievance has to be corrected and every little like things, like, you know, it's like, I don't know. It just bugs me, I guess. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Like, maybe I was just raised in like friendship communities where like we were always super critical and would like have like productive discussions about things we just watched and like played and whatnot. You know, it's like, I've always grown up in that atmosphere. So it's always been weird when it's just like hype cycles, like ad nauseum. Like, I've never understood how that's fulfilling, I guess, on like a fan level. Like, as someone that's like a fan of a lot of like different like mediums and art and stuff, like, it's, I feel like discussing things at like a critical value is like really entertaining and fun and interesting. And like, I love reading like criticism that's not, that I wouldn't necessarily agree with, you know, like something that would make me think, see something in another light or look at from a new perspective. Like, oh, like, I could see where they're coming from and that was really interesting, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like it's so stupid that with the whole like Avengers thing, people are like, oh, how dare they, someone criticize this like highly critically praised and fan adored movie when it's just like, it's just a fucking superhero movie. Like, I don't know, like, why can't people talk about it at an intellectual capacity? I feel like that's almost like a plus. It's like, it shows that these movies have like depth to be looked at critically, you know?
I think this is like the issue where it's like, just, it's like fan and like nerd culture is very resistant to any sort of criticism that isn't criticizing like the world or the narrative itself, or it's like,
or
it's
the
very
canon,
it's very okay,
like how well very, it sticks to the canon.
Exactly. It's like people are like, man, old Star Wars movies are great because like Luke has this discovery. I'm like, nah, dude, like old Star Wars movies are still kind of shit. Like, there's like not great acting. There's like a lot of really stupid like wipe transitions. Like, there's like there are like clearly formal things wrong with these movies.
I mean, that's just a George Lucas problem, to be fair. Like, he's,
but it's like, I think
director.
It's a thing where it's like there's not like the length. I think it's because the culture was marginalized, or perceived to be marginalized for a while, that it was like any sort of incursion. Like, it was like you found solace in like, oh, I like talking about Darth Vader, but like, you don't talk about like costume direction. Like, why does Darth Vader have a trash can on his head? Like, that's not like a thing that is part of like the just the common discourse, like the established discourse. So like, when these things start peeking to the surface, it's like you have these two heads meeting where you've got like Anthony Lane, the New Yorker, like calling Infinity War on its bullshit. And like everybody being like, yeah, I totally agree with that. And then you've got like the MCU stands going like so mad because someone decided to say that their thing was bad, which is also like, it doesn't matter. It's like, you don't need to see, like, your circle is bigger now. And all your friends don't have to like the thing that you like. You can still like, you can like your thing and other people cannot like that thing. And that could be totally fine. But it feels like for like there's this sort of like totalizing opinion of nerd culture where it's like, if there is not total consensus that everybody agrees this thing is good, then that's like bad. Or if everybody agrees that it's bad, like there's like the Doom movies, for example, or like bad movies or whatever.
That's the thing, is like the logic of this system is so broken where it's like you're constantly moving, like by virtue of the fact that this comic book universe has sprouted up and become its own thing, that means it doesn't have to play by the rules that other art plays by, is I think the logic that like a lot of people go with, where it's like, well, we're not gonna talk about this the way we would talk about, you know, a David Lynch film, for instance, because it's a Marvel film, and therefore
Chris
we have
Nolan
to, yeah, we're gonna criticize it by different standards, which, okay, I think that's inherently a dumb way to think about this thing, because it's still a movie and you can still criticize it on really whatever terms you feel like, because criticism shouldn't have to like abide by any like standard besides like how it made you feel type thing, in my opinion. But on the same token, it's like this way of thinking about things is like inherently lucrative for companies that want to just like put out 1,000 movies that they know are going to sell millions of tickets every couple months. Because it's like, how many times have you heard some like spokesperson at Comic-Con say like, you know, we're big, you know, we love comic book fans because they're such loyal and they're such like a die-hard audience. Like, they're clearly thinking about this shit. This is top of mind for them. They know that the zealotry of these audiences is like inherently exploitable, and I think there's like an element of inevitability in seeing people react to stuff this way. And it's like, we're watching this fucking ball roll down a hill and begin to gather and collect more moss as it rolls down, and it's just getting bigger and bigger to the point where like these things just become more and more immune to criticism, more and more money making entities that people feel like it's important to have a discourse around them and shit. It's just like there's no fighting it, because the like basically marketing has gotten exactly what they wanted in like this long-term kind of like weird gaming the system type way that really just applies to all nerd culture. And I just think,
I mean, it's like
dumb.
It's video games, it's like, it's literally, it's anything that like has a niche audience that's now like bigger or something, where it's like, oh yeah, the whole idea is like, if you try to criticize Infinity War and someone's like, oh well, you just don't get the Marvel universe, it's like, yeah, maybe I don't, but that does not mean that any sort of criticism I levy is like somehow null.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of mindset that actually allows people to like keep making these movies, because the people that might hear counter opinions are able to put up these blockers and be like, oh, like you say it's bad, but like me, a discerning citizen who knows Marvel, knows it's good, and like I'll keep watching the movies. So
yeah, that's how,
yeah,
I think that's a pretty good summation of it right there. It's just all of nerd culture is like, it's becoming this bulletproof thing where I think that the part that bothers me most is like in the post Gamergate era, how it's like weaponized now. And mm-hmm. that is like a very real part of it that's gonna be even bigger in the future. And it's like intentional. Like when you hear people talking, when you hear marketers talking about the loyalty of these audiences, that's like kind of what they're talking about, honestly. And like swatting and all that shit, it's just like a byproduct of people trying to sell this mentality and people totally buying it over time. Because it's the type of thing where the more time you put into watching an Iron Man movie, the more you're going to want to defend what happens in the next Iron Man movie, regardless of whether it's good or not. So I don't know. It's just there's a lot of bothersome aspects of it that go beyond like whether it's a good or bad film. You know, like, if all the Marvel movies are bad, whatever, if people still want to watch them. But it's this, like, weaponization. It's this, like, immunity to criticism that's just... that rubs me the wrong way, personally. Yeah. So thanks again, Steven.
Thank you for the email.
We love reader mail.
Yeah. We love reader mail. Some more, please. We don't have to keep talking
about the fucking Marvel Cinematic Universe every episode, but here we are.
Let's keep doing it.
We talked about it the last episode, and we talked about it this episode because we got a reader mail about it. I wouldn't say we talk about it every episode.
We're just reinforcing the hegemony, though, so.
Are we, though?
And I don't know.
I don't know. I don't hear that many. I don't know. I don't.
Fortnite just had Thanos? Josh Brolin. They just had Josh Brolin in the game.
Josh Brolin plays Fortnite. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, they had like the Thanos limited event. Just kidding. I didn't even play. I guess it's already gone. I wanted to play it, and then I was really busy with like State of Decay and.
Or like your life.
Destiny and my life. So I just. Should it was like a Fortnite 1 week episode? Thing.
We should do a Fortnite.
Oh my god, episode. We should have a Fortnite episode. We should.
You could play Fortnite live.
Fortnite. And Podball.
The first Bedend live.
Are we good for this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I got nothing else. We covered a lot of ground. That was like a quick.
Tight.
I beat Vendrick in Dark Souls 2.
Nice. Hell yeah, man. That's I don't know what that is, but go for it, man. I don't know anything about Dark Souls. I think I'm going to finally get in Dark Souls with the Katie, remaster coming played? Out.
What?
I don't know. Mm. I just, like, I was always scared of it, like, intimidated, you know? Like, you hear how hard it is, and I'm like, I don't think it's for me. But I honestly, like, feel like I would probably, like, get it.
It's very scary and intimidating, in my opinion.
It is. Also, like, Dark Souls 1 is legit one of the best games of all time.
I mean, it's recoming out soon.
Demon Souls.
Excited. I'll be picking it up.
Demon Souls. I mean, it really is. Like when you play this shit, there's nothing like it out there. Like,
yeah. Except for everything else that's now like
Dark Souls. Trying to be like Dark Souls.
No, it's not.
There's actually only like a few things. There's
God
like
of War is like wannabe Dark Souls, but it doesn't come close.
Hollow Knight. It's like baby Dark Souls. What's that other one? What was that Japanese one? It was like from Ninja.
Oh. Yeah.
Neo.
Well,
Neo looked
there was
cool.
There's also that like really right after Dark Souls came out one that was like it had like four words in it. It was something of the something. It's like it was just about fighting bosses.
Salt and Sanctuary, Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah,
Salt and Sanctuary. Shadow of the Colossus.
Salt the original Dark Souls.
Mark of the Ninja.
Of the
oh, the Lords of the Fallen. That was a Dark Souls ripoff for sure. That was 100% Dark Souls ripoff.
I just know its name. That's it.
So there's a lot of ripoffs, but the source material, if you go back and read the books, Katie, it's really good.
The scariest thing about Dark Souls to me is that every NPC that you talk to doesn't move their mouth, even if it's like a human character, and they're just, they're talking to you and their mouth is closed and it's just like a fucking statue.
It's so like eerie. Yakuza, I think Yakuza 0 does that, where it's like cutscenes, but it's just no one's moving their mouth and it's just like, but they have like dramatic like camera angles, so it makes kind of like you like buy into it. You're like, I'm into this like weird like mime talking or whatever.
There's
or actually,
like, there's
Yakuza 5 does it, I think too.
There's really just so much shit in Dark Souls, especially like it's weird now having been like I guess 4 games deep that like there's like a language, but playing the first one, especially when it was like kind of just starting to rise, like it was unclear what was like intentional and what was actually broken and what was like. What felt like you were going out of bounds in the game. I feel like it juggled this sort of like, you always feel like you're lost and doing the wrong thing, but then you kind of are doing the right thing and it's surprising. And it's also like, people don't talk about this, but Dark Souls is actually really funny. And I don't mean like, I got like killed a funny way. It's like, there's a lot of just like weird humor that's in the game that is like kind of comes up because it's like so dark. Like it's like, it is a very
I would say it's
game.
Not even humor though. Like the thing about that game is that there's so many things in these games that when you look at them, it's just wrong. Like you're looking, horror has this issue where like if you show the people something, like it's not scary anymore. But Dark Souls is the type of shit where you're looking right at this thing and it's inexplicable. It's horrifying. It's disgusting. It's wrong. Sometimes it's funny and it that humor is so out of place and just perverse that it's horrifying. Like those fucking basilisks. Like, yeah, it becomes... the basilisks with the eyes, fucking dude.
Yeah.
Ah! It's like the first time I saw those, I was like, this is a funny creature, but I am absolutely terrified. Those fucking mushroom guys in the forest.
Yeah,
that'll like punch you out in one hit. Oh, that's God, hilarious. But also, when you see that shit, it's so wrong. It's just disgusting. Like, God, this shit sends shivers down my spine, man. Anyway.
Play Dark Souls.
Play Dark Souls. Game's unbelievably good. Yeah. Let's wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you to our readers who sent in mail. Keep that shit coming. We eat it up, and we will answer your questions respectfully and thoroughly, I hope. Thank you again for listening. We are Bad End Podcast. We just got on Google Play Music.
Yeah.
Props to us for that. We're going to try to get put on more platforms. Shout us out if you're listening on some, if you usually use some podcast platform that we're not on. Just be like, hey, get Bad End Podcast on here, and we'll do it to the best of our ability. We're trying to get on Spotify, but it's been a little
Spotify
bit of an
issue.
Yeah,
Spotify did not. I submitted us. I did not hear back, so
I think it's
because
we're on SoundCloud. I think they just hate SoundCloud.
Some bullshit. I like submit. I was so thorough with my, like, because they have a little application thing. I was so thorough. Did not hear back. Google Play was like instant. Like they're just like,
yeah,
you're on.
Like you're in.
Like what the F? Come on, Spotify, let us on.
We are Bad End Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Bad End Podcast. Email us at badendpod@gmail.com. Is that that's right, right?
Yeah.
Gmail's the pod, yeah. Bad End Pod.
Pod.
Rate us and review us on iTunes. That is super helpful as always. Tell your friends. This is a show that we love to do, so we're trying to grow that shit. And yeah, we will see you in a couple weeks later.
Bye. Let's go.